Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And my rock star today, Josh Iguado. He is the co-founder and president of Jam City. Thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first of all, tell me, what is Jam City?
Okay, so we're a mobile gaming developer and publisher. So what that means is we make literally hundreds of games. We distribute them on anyone's iPhone, iPad, Android device. We have about 50 million monthly active users. We've achieved some scale over the years, so we've now become one of the top 10 grossing publishers in the U.S.
Some scale? I would say that's a lot of scale.
Thank you. And we have six of the top 100 games right now. So we love what we're doing. We love that we've been able to achieve some scale, and we've got an amazing group of people that we're working with every day.
And about how many users?
So about 50 million a month.
And many of those are global, right?
So, yes, less than 50% of our users are actually in North America. So we love that there are, it's a global environment now. Anytime you put something out, it can be played or read or enjoyed by billions of people around the world.
Yeah, and you've been working where entertainment and technology intersect for a while. Take me back to kind of the beginning of your career and how you ended up co-founding this company.
Oh gosh, that's a long path.
Give us the Cliff Notes version.
So I started out at Univision, where it was all about sort of creating a digital business for Hispanic consumers in the U.S. Then I was at Viacom and Nickelodeon, where it was about kids. And then I went to Fox. And while I was at Fox, my company acquired MySpace, along as many other things. We started Hulu. We started a bunch of cable channels. But when we acquired MySpace, I got to know the two founders very, very well, Chris and Aber, and those are the two gentlemen that I ended up starting this business with.
Amazing. And this space has just been changing and growing so rapidly. But through it all, you've really kind of had one motto in mind. Just share with everyone what that is.
Yeah, no, throughout my career, it's always been to follow the people, not the money. So, and that, I think that works in two ways. One, it's about finding the best people to work with. But more importantly, I think it's about finding what players want out of an entertainment experience. And so when I was at Univision, they weren't making a ton of money as a company, but there were hundreds of millions of U.S. Hispanic viewers. And so we knew the dollars were going to go that way. Same thing happened at Nickelodeon, where kids, there was a time when a kid's cable channel was sort of unthinkable. And why would you? You can't advertise really to kids. And how would you make money out of that? And it ended up being a gigantic business. MySpace, same thing, tons and tons of people. Social network was kind of a new concept as an entertainment destination, and it became absolutely gigantic. So with mobile gaming, we saw that there were literally billions of people with mobile devices. That we're at a point now, and this actually flipped in 2015, where people actually spend more time on their mobile device than they do watching television.
Not surprised. I'd be one of them. Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to me as an American, where we watch a lot of television, to think that in the U.S. people are actually spending more time on their mobile devices shocked me. So we saw that there was this absolute tsunami of people going toward mobile devices, and we knew that the entertainment experience would go in the same direction. So we started this company 6 years ago when really mobile gaming wasn't a thing. There were sort of inklings of it. You saw a little bit of it in Asia, but in the Western markets, it was really non-existent, but people were going that way.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you and your two co-founders had wonderful jobs, but you decided to take the risk and leave it and start from scratch. So tell me a little bit about that transition.
Oh my God. So first of all, my wife almost killed me. We had a 2-month-old, our first child. She couldn't believe I was leaving what was a great position at Fox. I was a vice president there, and I was acquiring businesses and starting new businesses. But the three of us really saw what we thought was an incredible opportunity. And so we decided to take that dive. When we did it, however, it's not like there was an established business we were jumping into. So we left. We then started to write the business plan. We were working out of our homes for the first 6 months, raising capital, pitching all the VCs, and thankfully it ended up working out quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's dive into a couple of those things. First of all, you said that you wrote a business plan. Did that prove to be really helpful? Because people have different, you know, opinions on whether or not a business plan is necessary nowadays.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it depends a little bit what business you're going into. So we were jumping into a space where we knew we were going to acquire several studios and we needed funding. So if you're going to raise funding, you need a plan.
You have to have it. Okay.
So I think by definition, we needed to have something that we were pitching to all the VCs. But more than that, I think strategically, you really need to start with a vision of what you're trying to build and where you want to take it. You also have to be nimble and you have to be able to change that basically and, you know, turn on a dime and learn very quickly, collect data, reassess, which is what we did. But if you don't have a vision from the start, whether it's written down or not, I think it's going to be a lot harder to succeed.
What do you think is necessary to be flexible about in your business plan versus really, really stay true to what you have in there?
I think for us, and I mentioned it before, it's sort of this overarching vision that people were going to consume media and we're going to have entertainment experiences on their mobile devices.
So that mission doesn't change.
That was the core of it, is like, what's the user experience? Mm-hmm. What are they looking for? And then the question and the variable piece is, how do you serve that need? So we thought that it needed to be interactive because that's the expectation on a mobile device. We thought it needed to be global because any of the games you release now go across, you know, hundreds of markets around the world. And we thought that it needed to be something that you could enjoy anywhere, anytime. Again, we're past the world where you can only enjoy media, you know, in your living room or at a movie theater. People's expectation have come to really expect it anywhere, anytime, interactive. And so I think those were the core tenets. And then figuring out what was the best actual product came over time.
Yeah. And obviously you've had a lot of success with funding. So what did you do right? How did you find that success?
Gosh. So I had a bit of a leg up, which was actually in my co-founders. So Chris and Aber had started MySpace. They were the co-founders of MySpace and sold it to Fox for basically $600 million. So they had a track record in the space. And so anytime they went out to a VC, frankly, there was a lot of credibility there because they had done it before. And I think that was the second or third business they had started together.
So find good co-founders.
Find good co-founders, exactly. Yeah, I can't take credit for that. They really had the credibility. Absent that, I think it would have been a tougher road to hoe.
And when it comes to moving forward with your business, you are very much so action over planning. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Yes. I think some people could perceive that either as a strength or a weakness. But
you should ask your co-founders what they think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, honestly, I say all three of us, that's actually something we have in common, is we err toward action. So in our industry, you can get data from a game within days. So you can put, let's say, 5 versions of a game out. You can get data immediately. You can pivot. You can, if you have sort of like a 2-year plan for how to create something, like, frankly, that's really the traditional film industry. You get no data on it. You really don't know if it's going to be a success until you get it out. That would be very hard for me to be successful in. That's the type of environment that I'm not comfortable in. I like being able to test lots of different options, see what works. I love being surprised and I love having my sort of prejudgments challenged, which is, I think, is why we've been so successful in the digital space.
Yeah. And building a corporate culture with a global company with a lot of creative employees has had its own set of challenges. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So we have six studios distributed mostly along the West Coast. We're in Seattle, two studios in San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, and then we actually also have a studio in Buenos Aires. And I think there's two things that have made that difficult, but also beneficial. Number one, we get a lot of different voices in the different offices, people with different opinions and different perspectives on what can be successful. And we encourage that. We want each office to really have their own voice and to feel ownership over what they want and what they think could make a game successful. But then number two, we have really strong communication between those studios. So if you're not able to have both formal and informal discussions about what's working and what's not in a creative industry, you're very likely to hit roadblocks. But the fact that we can talk about what may work, what may not, riff on sort of different opportunities and different creative approaches has been great for us. And then it's also nice, again, going back to the data, that we can very quickly get feedback on what's working and what's not, and shift accordingly. So yeah, it's been great. And I love working in sort of a distributed studio model. It's been fantastic.
Awesome. Well, we will be right back with my guest, Josh Iguato. He is the co-founder and president of Jam City. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Do you have knee or back pain? If you have Medicare or private insurance, we have great news. You may qualify right now to get a pain-relieving knee or back brace at little or no cost to you. I've used them. They work. Call the Pain Relief Hotline right now for free information.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944.
Created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock-knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidacare Pain Relief Patches. Our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore. Because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars, and my rock star, Josh Iguato, he is the co-founder and president of Jam City. Now, you were telling me off camera that there's this fine balance between being innovative and really focusing on what is working versus expanding and scaling. So tell me about juggling that balance.
Gosh, I think it's about creating an atmosphere where failure is not only okay, but it's celebrated. And so we constantly are trying multiple versions of everything. So we've created what we call an A-B testing framework or harness, which sounds very technical and terrible, but it's wonderful because it allows you to try multiple experiments against each other and figure out ultimately what people love and really double down on that. So whereas back in the day, you'd work again, for years, put out a film and not know exactly what's working and what's not. In this day and age, we can put out a game and we're constantly changing different parts of the game. Every week we put out a new version that has something changed, something improved, in order to make sure we're really creating the most fun, best, long-lived, and hopefully evergreen entertainment franchise in the world.
Yeah, it's a lot easier in your space to come up with a minimum viable product and not have to invest so much in a new app in order to see if it's successful or not.
Exactly. I'll admit that it's easier to embrace failure when failure is only a couple weeks or a couple months work versus years of work. So
yeah.
I recognize that it's easy to say and it's not always so easy to do in every form of entertainment.
But a benefit to being in that space for sure.
It's amazing for us, really it is. And so I think there's actually an opportunity in the future for traditional entertainment industries to benefit from our iteration, perhaps start franchises or characters or stories online, figure out what really works and resonates, and then eventually move them to more traditional channels.
Yeah, well, let's talk more about that because you've really seen the changes in the entertainment industry over many years. So how has it changed and what does technology mean for the entertainment industry?
It's a good question. I mean, I always go back to the consumer, and I remember in my childhood, you know, let's say, and I did, I loved Avengers. And so there was a comic book once a month. And if you were lucky, there was a film every once in a while. So if you add that up per year, maybe I had, you know, 10 to 15 hours of real entertainment content. When you contrast that with the games we're putting out, so we have an Avengers game, Marvel Avengers Academy. We literally have hundreds of hours of content that players can enjoy every year. And so when you put that up against a film or television or, you know, a print franchise, it just doesn't work. And so we have such incredible hours and engagement with our players that it's an insane advantage. And I actually have people asking me sometimes, well, does that mean games are going to kill, you know, traditional television or film? To me, the answer is absolutely not. They're not competitive. They're collaborative and they're complementary. And so if someone loves our Avengers game, they're more likely to watch an Avengers film. Or if someone loves an Avengers film, it goes the other way too, they're more likely to play our game. So
Very complimentary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We love working with traditional Hollywood studios. Half our games right now are basically Hollywood IP, and then half of them are in-house IP that we've developed internally.
Very cool. So tell me about some of the necessary skills that you need to be successful in your company.
Oh my gosh. You've got to be able to have an open discussion and take criticism. We're not a company of sort of thin-skinned, ego-driven maniacs. It's really people who like to collaborate, who like to work in teams, and who like to take risks. So I think that's a key part of success at our company. And we talked about it before, but I think it's folks who err on the side of action versus, you know, deep strategy. So yes, we have a long-term strategy, but if you're not testing your hypotheses on a regular basis, who knows if you're on the right track or not. Mm-hmm. So I'd say most of our employees love getting things out, love seeing, you know, players enjoy their games. Their biggest joy is when they're, you know, going down the aisle in a bus or a plane, or see someone on a park bench playing their title. Like, there's nothing that feels better than people enjoying what you created.
So what would you say is your strength and your weakness as a president of the company?
Oh my God.
Really putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I'd say, so when you look at the traditional entertainment industry, it's all about relationships. When you look at traditional sort of digital and technology, it's all about data. I think the most successful executives of the future are going to be those who are able to navigate both and really focus on relationships both inside and outside of the company. So sort of have that EQ, but also folks who love the data, love to roll their sleeves up and get dirty, and really think about what the product is and what it means to consumers. So I think that's one of my strengths.
And that's hard to find sometimes, that balance of, you know, like you said, EQ, but then also analytical.
I mean, just to give you 2 seconds of background. So I was a literature major in college. Mm-hmm. I came very close. I actually studied classical painting for a year in Madrid. I was sure I was going to be either an artist or a writer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I ended up following a very different path. But I think having kind of the right and left brain, if you will, sort of being able to think creatively.
And you exercised both parts of your brain.
That's why I love what I do. Like, that's why this job is perfect for
cool.
me, is because it has sort of like the business and economics combined with the creative and innovative. And I love it absolutely every day.
Yeah. All right. Don't think I forgot about the weakness part of that question. What do you think is your weakness as a president?
Oh my gosh. My greatest weakness as a president.
Or what's something that maybe, you know, your co-founders have more strength in that you typically don't handle because it's not yours?
Yeah, no.
To put it in a more positive way.
It's a good question. I'll give you 2 things. So one is I didn't come up from a tech background. I'm in the tech industry. And so I'm completely reliant on the wonderful tech leaders we have in the company. So our CTO, Abra Whitcomb, who's named one of the top 10 CTOs in the world and was the co-founder and CTO of MySpace and many companies before that. I love that he has this capability that I don't have.
Yeah.
I wish I had more of the sort of pure tech background. I don't, but I think I've been able to cover for that by working with people who have it. And it's not just Abra, it's really across the board, the wonderful talent we have within the company.
Thank you so much for your time. My guest, Josh Iguato, he is the co-founder and president of Jam City. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
How would you like to learn the secrets to engaging followers on social media? Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. Become an influencer. Business Rockstars is lifting up the kimono and giving you the secrets to social media. And it's free. Join us for our Social Media Startup Bootcamp, a live online event Thursday, March 2nd, 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com. Learn from rockstar CEOs, including Leonard Kim, who will teach you how to become an influencer, Jennifer Puno, Instagram social media ninja, and SEO and social media guru Austin Hay. The Business Rockstars Social Media Startup Bootcamp. Engage and grow Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn social footprints. Click, like, share the Business Rockstars Social Media Startup Bootcamp live Thursday, March 2nd, 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com and sign up now. That's businessrockstars.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here's Helen Creeble.
An historic church in Warrenton, Virginia, is a landmark recognized by a 65-foot steeple. But 130 years of weather have not been good to that steeple, which was rotting and falling apart. The congregation raised enough money to have the steeple replaced with an exact replica made of fiberglass so it would be maintenance-free. But the city blocked the replacement, demanding the church spend over $262,000 to rebuild the steeple with specific kinds of wood. They should have looked through the lens of liberty and realized that church was none of the government's business. A town government has important duties, such as maintaining roads. But their duties do not include micromanaging people's steeples.
Go to lensofliberty.org. You won't believe what you hear.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road, and with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 28th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Casey Zeman's joining us. He's the founder of Easy Webinar. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Tell us about your company. What do you guys do? Something to do with webinars?
No, not at all. Yes, full-on webinars. So we create both live and automated webinars for businesses and brands to help them essentially just reach a larger audience, but more importantly, get more sales.
So for the people out there who don't know what the word webinar means, what is a webinar?
Let's start there. Right? So a webinar is kind of an online seminar, right? Uh-huh. The idea is that you can build an online audience and do a seminar essentially from your home, right? In your boxer shorts or, you know.
Hopefully not, unless it's under the table.
Right, exactly. That's usually how it is. It would have to be under the table.
You wear like what we're wearing right now, maybe, but with shorts on.
Yeah. Oh, that's normally
that
the case.
That actually is normally the case. Yes.
So, but it's a great way to finally, you know, scale up, work from home, and, you know, finally start, you know, selling whatever your passion, whatever your expertise is on a larger level.
Yeah. So online trainings, mm-hmm. essentially.
Exactly.
Through video format. They can be live. They can be pre-recorded.
Yep.
So you got into this industry. Why? There's a lot of other platforms out there that do this. There's pros and cons to each platform.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to get into this space?
Well, so I started off as someone who just was loving video. I started off as actually a YouTube consultant back in the day and started doing consulting work for Estee Lauder and Dell. And I found a long time ago that video was the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Video was what I needed to bridge the gap of communication found on the web.
Especially short form video as well.
Exactly. So I started to do that more and more, but I was having a tough time with converting those people that would watch my videos into, first off, a lead. So I get them from the video into like my own email system or something that I could market to them later on. And I also was having difficulty with actually selling a product to them, right? At first, I was doing more service-based business and doing more consulting. But I wanted to get into the digital marketing space where I was selling a course and program.
Okay.
So I started to create videos that would promote a webinar. And once I started doing that, I got signups and people on my webinar. And then I started selling on my webinar. So that led me into seeing like this eureka of like, whoa, webinars are where it's at. Back in the day, I was trying to figure out how to scale up that business because within my first year of doing it, I did decently. You know, I built an email list of about 14,000 and sold about $245,000 worth of my YouTube course, right? But I wanted to figure out how to scale it. So I had this idea of a software that does sort of automated webinars, which is kind of the concept of a pre-recorded webinar that has a level of engagement similar to a live webinar, but
most people don't know the difference.
They don't know the difference.
If they're watching it, you can easily trick the consumer.
Right. But the thing is, like, we don't come at it from a point of view of trying to trick anybody.
Yeah.
It's a medium by which people would consume it that's better than just watching a video alone, right? If you take them to a page where they can watch a video, they can come back, they could, you know, there's no, there's absolutely no, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Commitment, essentially, right? At least there's a micro commitment to someone signing up and coming to a presentation set on a particular day. Now, what we do is we help to stream out a video presentation that, you know, you would create in real time, and it has a level of engagement without you having to be there. So people can ask questions and you can get those questions fed into, say, your help desk or email. So essentially you could create your perfect show and have people still consume it with sort of the look and feel of live. But again, all of our customers who use that level of the platform, I always tell them, you know, call it a workshop or a streamed workshop. Never call it live if it's not 100% live.
Let's talk about why most people fail miserably when it comes to webinars.
Sure,
we're in very similar spaces, at least for me, the industry I'm in. I'm somebody that uses the webinar.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably, like you were saying, you use it as well.
Right.
The industry I'm in, lots of people are out there like, oh, should I go online? Should I do webinars? There's so many people out there saying how to build a 6 or 7 figure business and have money generating in while you're traveling the world on the beach.
Right.
And I see so many people fall prey to going into the pipe dream of, I'm going to have an online successful evergreen webinar that runs cold traffic into a nurturing process that warms them up, gets them onto a webinar, and that sells products while I travel the world and I can just log in and check my bank account.
Yeah.
The problem is it doesn't usually work that way.
Right.
And a lot of the times the people that are really successful at it don't talk about the 3 to 5 years it took them to master that just for a 6 or 7 figure business. Why are most people failing when it comes to webinars?
Well, okay, that's a great question. So I think that, unfortunately, there's this huge gap between what people think they can do versus where people are at. So like I always say that, like, when someone says, I have $100,000 a month webinar, you know,
they're not talking about the $80,000 they still spend to get that $100,000.
Yeah, like exactly, on ad revenue and things like that. So, you know, with that in mind, when these people hear that these people can make, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on a webinar, it makes the divide wider. And because of that, these people never start. But I can guarantee...
Or they do and they fail.
But they fail, but they don't keep going.
Yes.
That's what stops most people. Yes. They fail, and then they assume, because they failed, that they can't... That it won't still be a viable
method. So that's the question right there is, just like Facebook marketing, lots of business owners, we tried that, doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, we tried Google Ads, doesn't work. We tried YouTube Ads, doesn't work. We tried webinars, doesn't work. Why do most people start, it doesn't work for them, and they don't keep going because of that?
Because they fail. Because they don't do it correctly. They don't figure out a plan. They don't test and go back to the drawing board.
Right? All the ads. There's so many variables.
There's so many variables, and a lot of people give up because, again, here's the deal. Facebook ads are always going to work. Google ads are always going to work. People say that
YouTube
they're not going to work.
Remarketing.
All that stuff works. It's a question of the message, right? It's a question of how that connection is. Am I connecting with you on a visceral, emotional level? And people don't normally know how to do that in a webinar, right? It's a platform for your story, right? Yeah. And a lot of people don't figure out that they have to come with that. So you have to create that emotional connection from the marketing ad all the way through to where they register, come to a thank you page, and join you in a webinar, right? And it has to reflect the audience's biggest pain point. Yeah. So what my answer to your question is, they normally don't market to the audience that needs their business. They don't serve their audience in the right way. They don't understand their own message, which in turn doesn't allow them to get the sales that they want.
I agree. The message to market match is usually off. And even if the message to market match is accurate, which means that the story you're tapping into in the consumer's mind, even if you have that down, your targeting may be off.
Right.
Maybe your targeting is right, but the picture of the headline's off. So there's so many variables.
There's so many variables. There are.
The nurturing process that gets them to show up on the webinar, even if they opt in.
That's true. And a lot of people, that gap sort of, that makes them never start. Or at least if they start, they never continue. So what I always tell people is start at the basic thing. Just do a live webinar. Even if you just have 30 people on a webinar, you talking to them directly just like this is more powerful than trying to come up with, you know, some, you know, neuro-linguistic, you know, sort of mind manipulation, right? Yeah, yeah. It's not about that. It's really just about creating that connection, that one-on-one connection. Yeah. I did terrible webinars when I first started out.
Everybody does.
I mean, I was god-awful at doing webinars. And, you know, even though I was bad, I would get 30 people on, and I would sell a $1,000 program, and I'd make 3 sales, right? Now that's...
What was your customer acquisition cost?
I would do lead generation through content marketing. So my customer acquisition was not that much.
So
it was my
requests.
Time. Okay. Right. It was my time. So I built up my email list and then went back to that email list to do these webinars.
Okay.
Right. So I was just using content marketing as a way of funneling people into the webinars. Mm-hmm. Now, nowadays, people don't do a lot of content marketing as much as sort of we had to do back then because we didn't have Facebook, you know, ads.
I recommend they still do content marketing for boosted posts and different things like that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I mean...
But what I would tend to do now, I mean, if you really want to know like how I would do this, I would do a Facebook ad that would promote a blog article or a video, sends them back to the blog article. That person then reads that article or watches that video. And now suddenly you have a retargeting pixel. Okay, this gets kind of technical for some people.
First, we'll stop there and explain it. A retargeting pixel is essentially I go on Amazon or you go on Amazon, look at a pair of shoes, then you go back to Facebook or any social media platform, and there's the Amazon
They're
ad
following
the
you.
Shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a remark. They pixeled your unique IP address and they're following you around.
That's right. And some people think it's invasive, but at the same time, it's a way to give that audience
if you want the shoes
right if you want that you looked at the shoes
I'm serving you
I'm just serving you so it's the same concept and a good way to do it is start where you're kind of showing them the biggest pain point they might be having might be related to what your article answers right and then you know and then once they leave that article maybe at the bottom of that article you can have a link to the webinar right that says hey by the way I can answer more of your problems through this webinar. They go back to Facebook, you remind them again, hey, this webinar is going to be starting.
And if they still don't click it after a certain amount of days, then you could remarket them more lead magnet content
that
funnels them back into the webinar.
Yeah.
That's a mistake a lot of people make, though, is they think that, oh, it's just a matter of running cold traffic ads straight into a webinar. The thing that people have to understand is the medium at which they're communicating through.
Right.
Do you, me, or anyone listening, do we go on social media because we're looking to opt into a 30-minute or hour-long video. No. We go on social media for quick hits of dopamine to make us feel good because we saw a short video or our friend posted something.
Yep.
We're scrolling through, like, just scrolling down these news feeds for something that's short, sweet, action-oriented. And it's going to give us something immediately, not because I'm going to opt in for a webinar in a week.
Right. And if you can, so I love, like, Facebook video, like, ads. Those are awesome. Because you can come in and like just share them with them some sort of quick little bite-sized thing. And maybe at that point, you build a know, like, and trust, right? Mm-hmm. They get to know you a little bit. While at the same time, you know, it's short. You know, it's like that easy to digest content.
Yeah.
Maybe you give them a PDF, right? Or send them then to the, that's where maybe you send them to the blog article, which then gives them a PDF, which then invites them to a webinar from there.
If somebody wants help with webinars and they want to learn more about you or your business, where can they do that?
Well, they can go to easywebinar.com or caseyzeman.com. You can find me on on my website.
Casey, you're a rock star. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate
you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect the community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Keeping the trust of your current customers is what will attract new ones. Here's a few ways to build trust and credibility with your customers. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, be active on social media. Social media is a great way to bring your business closer to customers. Do not be disheartened or get annoyed with negative comments. They're inevitable sometimes. Give your response in a respectful manner. Number two, be truthful about reviews. If a customer posts negative reviews, it should inspire you to make your product or service better. Reach out to the customer and get more details on how to improve your business. Number three, attend to concerns right away. Trust is a quality that is earned over time. You cannot earn it one day or even one week at a time. If a customer calls your attention to a problem with your product or service, attend to it immediately. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
I hate water softeners. I really hate softeners. I hate the thought of lugging salt and that it ruins septic systems. But I hate hard water that causes limescale, which costs thousands in appliance damage and wasted energy.
Stop hating and start loving again with the HydroCare Smart Descaler from Wave Home Solutions. Prevent and eliminate limescale the smart way. No maintenance, no salt, no plumbing required, and better than magnetic wraps. 1 year performance guaranteed. Go to IHateMySoftener.com. IHateMySoftener.com.
If you're finally addressing your hearing loss, you know that custom hearing aids can cost as much as $5,000 each and are not covered by Medicare. The good news is MD Hearing Aid offers medical-grade hearing aids at savings of up to 90% over traditional hearing aids. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-396-1380. That's 1-800-396-1380.
Here is your healthcare update with America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall.
Does exercise really help keep you young as you get older? I'll be back to tell you more. A sedentary lifestyle isn't good for anyone, but particularly should be avoided as we age. Although some age-related muscle loss may be inevitable, much of the decline in muscle tissue is blamed on aging that is really due to inactivity. So if you're a couch potato, here's what happens. Muscle mass diminishes, the metabolism can change drastically, causing obesity, impaired glucose tolerance, changes in the body's ability to regulate temperature, and weakened bones, thereby increasing risk from falls and injury. How many older folks do you know that have fallen and injured themselves? Well, all that can be avoided if you simply exercise. Exercise can make a huge difference. The person who stays physically fit will not only look good and feel good, their skin, tissue, organs, and bones will all have the components of youth. So yes, you can reverse the aging process, or at least slow it down, through exercise.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. If you own a home, there's a good chance its value has gone up. In fact, year over year, housing values nationwide have risen by more than 6%, one of the largest increases this decade. Quicken Loans has smart ways to help you take advantage of your home's rising equity. You could take cash out to consolidate debt, or you could refinance to eliminate private mortgage insurance. No matter what's happening with the housing market, it's always a smart move to call us at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Experience the confidence that comes from working with a mortgage partner that has your best interest in mind. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
How can you build generational wealth? Rick Glade's joining us to talk about this subject with us. He's the founder and CEO of Infinite Success Alliance. Rick, break it down for us. This is something that you talk about, you work with ultra successful people on. Break it down for us.
Yeah, you know, I think the reality is so many people are just, you know, on the chase, right? So many people are just out there, whether you're, you know, successful or you're not successful, whether you're an employee or whether you have a small business, really people are just kind of, you know, chasing the next benchmark.
Yeah.
But the reality is, very few people actually sit down and take score and think about actually building wealth for the next generation or even the second generation. So, you know, if you look at some of the, you know, the big players in that space, you know, the Kennedys and Rockefellers and those kind of guys, I mean, they've got, you know, seven generations full of wealth. And so, you know, there's not only a strategy, but there's also a, you know, a responsibility for the next up and coming generations to be involved in that as well. So, you know, there's two parts to that. To really to make it happen. But, you know, as the patriarch or the matriarch, you know, being the foundational leader of that wealth, it really, really comes down to you, you know, knowing what the end game is in your business and then knowing what the end game is in your kind of your eulogy and where you're going to go once you're gone. And how is that next generation going to carry on whatever it is that you're building? And so it really, really takes you, you know, thinking about it and taking score.
Okay, so what about for the families out there? Because this is something that comes up all the time, is you, like me, deal with really successful people that are trying to figure this thing out, right? How do I create generational wealth or a system in a business that my kids can take over if they want? A lot of the times I find it's sort of 50-50. The kids either want to be part of the business because it's just kind of like a turnkey, here you go, here's the keys to the car kind of thing. And then there's other kids that are like against the grain. I don't want anything to do with that business, Dad. You tried to make me get in it when I was a kid growing up, but I hate it. I don't want anything to do with that. It's the last thing I want to do when I grow up. I just want to do my own thing and follow my own passion and hopefully inherit some of the wealth or the real estate or whatever it may be. So absolutely. What do you deal with in a situation like that?
That's a great point. In fact, the Rockefellers, the way they actually have almost like a council. They run their family office like a government. So, you know, again, being seven generations or whatever it is now, maybe it's even more. But the reality is they actually have where they vote, you know, and they literally vote on what somebody's going to do. So, you know, that, again, is part of having to put those measures in play.
Good problems to have.
Right, good problems to have. But the reality is, too, is that when I work with a lot of people, don't try and put on the shoe that doesn't fit, right? So if you do have, you know, generation one or generation two, and most times you don't get involved in generation two, but at least gen one, you know, you want to make sure that you're working with the child's foundational genius. And these could be adult children at this time, right? It doesn't matter. But the point is, when I say foundational genius, I think every one of us has something in our DNA that we're really passionate about or born to do. And so I really think it takes discovery to find out what that is. And again, like, for example, I have a son. We did some testing on him for that, for his foundational genius. He says, what are you really born to do? And the reality is, he's not he's an extremist. He wants to, you know, jump off of cliffs and skydive and do things like that. He's never going to sit in an office.
Yeah.
So if I try and force a business of real estate down his throat that says, you got to sit in this office or manage real estate or do these things, it's not going to happen, right? And it may in small doses, but it's not going to happen long term.
Yeah.
So for him, setting up some kind of trust or some type of beneficial, you know, grant or retain trust, things like that, then that's how you would set him up where he can still have the financial capacity to maybe do something that's beneficial for them under their foundational genius, you know, foundational genius and move on that way.
Well, these are good problems to have, but first we have to get there. So let's talk about what that process looks like. Again, we don't have a lot of time, so we got to be concise here, but in a nutshell, you know, quick, effective ways to build wealth so that we can have these problems, right? So what are some good ways that people can understand, like, the basics of investing? I mean, one of the simplest things is an old saying, it literally doesn't matter how much you make, it matters what you keep.
Absolutely.
And we've probably all seen people that you make $1 million a year and you spend 1.2, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the reality is, number one, you need to make Uncle Sam your partner. Right. So take advantage of whatever, you know, tax advantages there are out there. And like you said, if you're making $30,000 a year and you're a W-2 earner, you can take and put that kind of money into like a Roth IRA. You can put that money into, you know, some type of Roth, you know, future investment account where you can maybe take that out tax free in the future. So it's not a matter of how much you're actually making. It's actually about, like you said, how much do you actually prepare for the future and how much are you actually doing that? And then so, you know, create your financial awareness to where you're doing things like that. But there's a lot of those programs out there. Again, buying a home, you get the full interest deduction of your home.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a renter out there, you know, you may be making a smaller income, $30,000 to $100,000 a year. But the reality is, by you renting the home, you're getting no benefits. You know, if you had an investment home, you could actually compound your wealth by having a tenant buy that home for you. Right? You're getting all the tax benefits, you're getting all the appreciation, you're getting the equity, and the tenant is actually buying that. So if you're a tenant, you're probably buying somebody a home, right?
Yeah.
And so fast forward, if you're young, again, if you started when you're 18, started when you're 25, whatever it is, you know, you're 38 years old and the home is completely paid off. Mm-hmm. You have the free and clear asset. Here's the reality. The tenant bought it for you. You got all the tax benefits. You got all the appreciation over those years. And for 30 years, I don't know anybody that can go back and say, I'm paying the same amount of rent I am today that I was 30 years ago. Or I can say the value of my house is the same today as it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think real estate is probably one of the most tools that you can leverage. There's other ways, options, stock market, investment, you know, those kind of things. But I think really take advantage of retirement accounts and real estate.
Fantastic. I think it's simple advice we've probably heard before, but again, it's taking action on it. And something that I love about investing is it doesn't matter how much you make. It's easier if you make a lot of money because then you can save more and you're kind of ahead in the game. But I mean, there's so many examples out there where it doesn't matter how much you make, it matters how much you keep, and then the ways in which you compound it. I think real estate's a great one. Rick?
Pleasure
on the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
How would you like to learn the secrets to engaging followers on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn? Become an influencer. Business Rockstars is giving you the secrets to social media, and it's free. Join us for our Social Media Startup Bootcamp, a live online event Thursday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com, learn from rockstar CEOs, including Leonard Kim, who will teach you how to become an influencer, Jennifer Puno, Instagram social media ninja, and SEO and social media guru Austin Hay. The Business Rockstar Social Media Startup Bootcamp. Find out how to engage and grow your Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and LinkedIn social footprints. Click, like, share. The Business Rockstar Social Media Startup Bootcamp, live Thursday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to businessrockstars.com and sign up now. That's businessrockstars.com.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
BizTalk Radio.